Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Everyone here on this, they call it the low Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, where everybody thinks they're good with God, so they don't need to come to church the next week. So we do have a rose on our panel, and it is for Joel Gary Adamson.
Yay!
6 pounds, 13 ounces. And congratulations to the grandparents, Ruth and Ken Hopkins. Would you like to say anything? Would you like to add to that?
Real cute.
Real cute, yeah? I know. You're going to have pictures next week? You have them now, okay. I want to go see. Yeah, that would be good. Okay, we go to the mountains and we have...
Here.
Yes.
We're collecting candy and stuff. We're going to make goodie bags for the pasta dinner that we're doing an outreach for the community. So if anyone wants to donate, we'll be putting them together on the 28th, the night before the dinner. So you have a few weeks to bring stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would you like to talk about the dinner a little bit?
Sure.
Make sure everybody knows.
I was going to say, the missions board is doing a pasta dinner. We're trying to reach out to the community, to those who might be in need, to give them a free meal. We're going to have pasta and meatballs, and we're also going to have some music for them. So we're hoping to get a good crowd. There will be posters going up around town.
Okay, so they get a free meal, but if someone wants to come who doesn't need a free meal, they can donate?
Yes.
Okay.
So if someone wants to come help, whatever you want to do.
Okay, and then at the end, all the money, if we collect, is going back to the community? So, okay, just to let everyone know that.
And it's... 4 to 6.
4 to 6
on Saturday, April 29th.
April 29th. And do you need any help?
You can see any of us.
Okay. Anyone from missions if you need the help? Because I think they could use your help. Okay. Does anyone have anything else they would like to add? Come on, Lori. You used to be so good at this.
Coffee hour downstairs.
You're still doing Crafty Friday? How is that going? Need more people? Oh, good. Okay, I'm trying to give somebody a chance to speak about this, the little pink insert.
Read it.
Well, I don't need to read it. Somebody put it in here, so somebody's pushing it. Let them. Through Covenant Women. Okay. Donate by May 7th. Honor Mothers and Babies, Carolyn Place. We've done that before. So please check that out. Everyone has one of these in their bulletin that they can read for themselves. Please.
Next Sunday there will be a bucket
Okay. See, I knew somebody knew something and they were holding back. They were holding back, see? Okay. Does anyone have anything else they would like to share this morning? Senior High Youth Group. Okay, what are you going to do?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Jesus stuff.
Okay. Well, that's what we're here to do today, too. Jesus stuff. So would you please now stand for our introit? It is an insert in your bulletin. Great are you, Lord.
Give life.
me in our call to worship found in your bulletin. We are people of the 21st century, far removed in the upper room.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
We have put away the festive trumpets, the fancy clothes, the chocolate bunnies of Easter Sunday. Must the message of Easter be put away for another year?
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
We will seek the one who offers victory over death, who loves, conquers evil.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
We gather to worship the risen Christ, who offers us new life.
Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.
Kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning. If I may begin and ask for special prayers today for someone in my family. My cousin lost her 43-year-old husband. He died of a heart attack at work. She's now alone with a 17-year-old and 14-year-old daughter. Her name is Jill, and the girls are Dakota and Kylie. And I'm trying to minister to them. And help them through this, so I ask for special prayers for them today. It was just such a shock and a tragedy. Thank you. We begin in the book of Acts today, Acts 2, and it is found on page 885 in your Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. We are going to start with verse 14 and then jump to verse 22. Peter addresses the crowd. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the way of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Our next reading will come from the book of Peter, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. A living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And this, my friends, is the word of the Lord.
sins washed away in your blood. Too much to make sense of it all. I know that your love breaks my fall. The scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul.
Sometimes we forget that it goes on for the rest of the year. I'd like to read with you Luke 23. So they arrested Jesus and they led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and they sat around and Peter joined them. A servant girl noticed him, the firelight, and began to stare at him. And finally she said, "This man was one of Jesus' followers." But he denied it. "Woman," he said, "I don't even know him." I wonder how many times we have said something like that at work or with our friends or to other people just to feel safe. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." "No, man, I am not," Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them, because he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and suddenly the last words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows three times this morning, you will deny me, and you will deny that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly. We can only imagine how Peter must have felt as the final days of Jesus' life unfolded. Devastated that his friend had been killed on a cross, disappointed that Judas, fellow disciple, had turned his back on Jesus, heartbroken that Rome had seemingly won. But perhaps Peter was most saddened that he had denied Jesus three times when Jesus needed him the most.
We all know the pain and the discouragement that comes from our own foolish choices, as well as the discouragement of things outside of our control. The story of the resurrection shows that there is no disappointment that the resurrected Jesus cannot overcome. There is no disappointment that the resurrected Jesus cannot overcome. Peter is given a chance to restore a relationship with the Savior with one simple question. Jesus asks us the same question as well. Resurrection hope comes from knowing that Jesus is faithful even when we are not. Jesus loves us back to wholeness. Do you love him? Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Jesus, we confess today that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to live a faithful life before you and have failed to serve those around us. Forgive us, we pray, and empower us to live in such a way that demonstrates your grace in and through us. Amen. Holy Week is over. Last week was Easter Sunday, and we had a wonderful celebration and the victory, Jesus' victory over death. It is nice to gather together once again with all of you in the light and resurrection, the life offered to us in Christ. Many of us left church last week on, they call it an Easter high. It's not from candy, and it's the joy and the excitement of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior assuring our future and our resurrection. This week is commonly described as Low Energy Sunday. Is there no life after Easter? Well, of course there is. There is because Easter keeps happening. Jesus tells us that the foundation of our salvation is just as important and powerful today as it was to the disciples 2,000 years ago. A few points to build off of. Jesus' resurrection and appearance before Mary and the disciples exemplifies the power of his resurrection, proving that Easter keeps happening because our God lives. The importance of the Apostle Thomas and his doubting of what he hasn't actually seen with his own eyes upon finally seeing and believing, my Lord, my God, belief. The receiving of the Holy Spirit needed to help in carrying out God's commission. John 20:21 reads, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Action. And finally in verse 29, Jesus tells Thomas, because you have seen and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. Faith. Life's greatest challenges are best faced when we have the hope of Jesus, the power and the present living among us and with us. Mary's journey to the tomb on that first Easter morning was met with surprise as she didn't find Jesus' lifeless body, but instead she saw him face to face, alive and well. His resurrection was filled with hope once again and changed everything. Following Mary's encounter with Christ, there were the others who saw him as well. And today we discover that the love of Jesus can restore our hope even after our greatest disappointments. One of the greatest challenges that each one of us faces in life is how to handle relationships. Learning to apologize and to forgive are some of the most difficult tasks that we can undertake. When we experience the brokenness between husbands and wives, parents and children, between friends, it can rob us of our hope for what that relationship could look like in the future. But in and through the power of Christ, we have hope. The story of Jesus' resurrection speaks to these challenges in life as well. As Jesus was being arrested and crucified, almost all of his closest friends deserted him. In fear for their own lives, they turned their back on Jesus.
Peter, who betrays Jesus by denying him, that he denies that he even knows him.
After 3 years of ministry alongside of Jesus, Peter carelessly refuses to remain loyal, and he denies any connection to Christ. 3 different times Peter is questioned about his connection, and each time he distances himself from Jesus. Our lives can be a confirmation or a denial of our connection to Jesus too. This morning there are more than likely many of us who think back over the past few days, weeks, months, years, at a point of thought, words, action, and deeds that they could have hurt Jesus. They hurt God, and they hurt those around you. Like Peter, many of us, time and time again, we live as though we don't know who Jesus is. We break trust. We speak harshly. And we hold hate in our hearts. Unfortunately, some of the most loving and difficult people that I have come across in my life and ministry have been people within the church. Author and speaker Brendan Manning once said, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door and deny him with their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." Mahatma Gandhi, as I said before, said, "I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." We must ask ourselves, what do our lives say about our connection to Jesus? Maybe today you have left the trail of destruction. You might have a history of broken relationships that have left you without hope that it could ever change. The good news is that Peter's story does not end with his denial. And our story does not end there either. John 21, 1 through 3. "Afterward, Jesus appeared again at the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them, and they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and they got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing." Following Peter's denial of Christ and Jesus' ultimate death, the Bible says that Peter and the others, they go back to fishing. The verse gives us one of the first post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to his followers. Many of the men and the women who invited to follow him during his ministry had a background in fishing. They had left their nets behind to become fishers of men. It would lead to the resurrection world, to the way that God had first intended. That was their goal. But now, after their leader had been killed, they decided to go back to what they knew, what they had always done. They went back to fishing. And not only would the fishing trip have some somber feeling as they mourned the loss of Jesus, he was their friend, but verse 3 tells us that their nets were empty as well. In John 21, 4 through 9, "Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. He said, 'Throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the nets in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It's the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him as if he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing a net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals with some fish on it and some bread." Why does Peter respond so dramatically? Why so quickly? Here is why I think he wastes no time in leaving the boat.
Peter is filled with hope that his relationship with Jesus can be restored. I'm sure some of us this morning feel that we've made too many mistakes in our life, or we've done things that we can never be forgiven for. Some of us have lost the hope that God could ever love us. This morning I want to invite you to see that your Savior has come to the shoreline of your life and is offering you his grace. The late preacher Charles Spurgeon told of an evening when he was riding home after a hard day at work. He felt weary and depressed when suddenly, as a lightning flash, he thought of 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for thee. He said, I should think it's Lord, and burst out laughing. He said that it seemed to make unbelief so absurd. It was though some little fish, being very thirsty, was troubled and then drinking the dry river. And the river said, drink away, little fish, my stream is sufficient for thee. Or a man way up on a mountain saying, I fear I shall exhaust all the oxygen in the atmosphere. But the earth might say, breathe away, old man, and fill your lungs forever. My atmosphere is sufficient for thee. The miracle of Easter is that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of our broken relationships can be restored. All of our mistakes and shortcomings can be covered by God's grace. It is more than enough to fill us with hope once again. It is sufficient for us and is not something that we can do on our own. It is when we recognize that Jesus has pursued us and called out to us that we are prompted ever so quickly to respond with our lives. Just as Peter did on the shore, he jumped into the boat. He ran to Jesus because he had hope. And as he arrives at the shore, there's a fire burning, and Jesus is cooking some fish over the coals. I can imagine Jesus' loving smile as he welcomes the man who recently had denied him is now at his table. In John 21:15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to. But when you are old and will stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and lead you where you need to go. Jesus said, this is to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. After they had finished eating on the shore, Jesus began a conversation that may have started a bit uncomfortably. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Certainly this is being asked because not long before, Peter had given every indication that he did not love Jesus. Bible commentary said that in the Greek, we get this even deeper look into the conversation between Peter and Jesus. There are four words used for love in the Greek. Each word says, is a nuance to a new way or another way. When Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, he says, do you agape me? The word agape is a kind of love that is a selfless and sacrificial. It is in the way the Bible authors write about the death of Jesus. Jesus asked Peter if he loves him like that. And Peter responds by saying, yes, of course I love you. but he uses a different Greek word for love, and that is phileo. Phileo is brotherly love. It's an affection for one another. And Jesus asked this question three times for Peter to respond all three times. And with each question, Jesus is resurrecting the hope that in Peter that their relationship can be restored. Each one of the three questions is a reversal of the three denials from the chapters before. Peter's perfect denial is met by Jesus' perfect restoration. Don't you think it's one of the most beautiful exchanges in all of Scripture? Love for Jesus is proven by life, living life for Jesus. Peter responds to the invitation from Jesus to restore the relationship by answering it honestly as he can about his love. Jesus loves sacrificially, in agape, but the best Peter can do is to love conditionally, in phileo. Jesus accepts Peter at his level. During this conversation, Jesus' invitation ends each time with a call to action. He says, "Feed my sheep." Essentially, Jesus is giving Peter the opportunity to demonstrate his love for Jesus by serving others. The Bible tells us that Peter did indeed remain true to the call. He ends up giving up his life to serve the church and to feed Jesus. To feed Jesus' sheep. Peter's love for Jesus is proven in his life and his eventual death. My favorite thing about this conversation on the shore is how Jesus finishes the discussion. He invites Peter, as he did in the very beginning, invites him to follow him. This is a very important truth for us to see this morning. Every one of us is invited to follow Jesus initially. We are invited to trust him with our lives and become his followers. But even when we fail to remain faithful, the invitation remains exactly the same, to follow him once again. This morning, Jesus' question to you is, do you love me? If your answer is yes, then we must live like it in how we love others and serve the world. And if our answer is no, through confession of sin and honest repentance, we can allow the grace of God to wash over us, and our hearts can be filled with affection for him. Amen. I'm going to switch the song and the prayer. Would you please bow in prayer with me? Jesus, we confess today that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to live a faithful life before you and have failed to serve those around us. Forgive us, we pray, and empower us to live in such a way that demonstrates your grace in and through us. Father God, we lift up a new baby Joel, parents and grandparents before you, Father. May this life be filled with your joy and your love. And Father, we lift up our service, our worship service today, our prayers, our joys, our concerns before you this morning. Lord, we lift up Jill and Daytona and Kylie. Father God, it's amazing what they have to be going through, and we pray that you walk with them each and every step. These are troubling and heavy days before them. We pray that you be with them, guide them, and be with Gina and those who walk with them, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you lift up and help those who are combating an Easter low. Help those of us to find energy and strength to carry on your Easter message of hope and salvation throughout the year ahead with joy and excitement in our hearts. Help us to forgive and forget, to comfort and support those in our lives we count on and we need so badly. And we lift up those in our lives and our church in need of healing, the healing power, your loving comfort, and guidance in the days ahead. We lift up Karen and Rogine and Karen and George, and Dave and Harriet. lift up for names that you have. Father, we do thank and praise you. We do give you this day, and we know that you hear all of our prayers, those said and unsaid, and we just lift them all up to you and give you this day, and we praise you and thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just give back with that smile on our face and singing that you rose with joy. Now. Father God, you have done so much for us. You have taken all the pain and anguish, all the sweat and the tears and all the hurt. And all we have to do, Lord, is believe and give back to you. We
We thank you for the opportunity to follow you, to listen to you, and to learn from you. It's in your name to gather, in your name that we pray. Amen. Join me in the back of the bulletin for our commission and benediction. Remember to greet those around you and to join us downstairs for something afterward. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am now sending you. He believes in you. The busy world awaits your compassion.
God believes in us.
Sometimes we will give your best, yet fail.
God believes in us.
At other times, you will succeed in spite of your stumbling.
God believes in us.
Go gladly, daring to succeed or fail for the glory of God. And then, at the very end, nothing shall dismiss you.
God believes in us. With Christ's own breath within us, we shall travel well.
The help of the saving Christ, the wisdom of the living God, and the support of the loving Spirit be with you every step of the way, now and always. Amen.
Can I have your attention 1 second? Next week, speaking of traveling, worship team is going up to